With that said, we're going to open us up in a word of prayer, and we're going to get into the word of God. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you that your word is made available to us, that we can look at it, read it, hear it, memorize it, and be transformed by it to be more like Jesus, to think more like Jesus, love more like Jesus, lead more like Jesus, serve more like Jesus. So we thank you, Father, today as the light of the word of God shines on our hearts, that we will grow thereby. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, earlier this year, we started a new series. Anyone know what the name, not a new series, we had a new theme for the year. Anyone know our theme for the year? Under construction, yes, under construction. And if you hadn't figured it out, the concept behind that is that we are literally in the middle of a major construction project, if you hadn't noticed, on our campus. We're renovating our sanctuary, right? And we're convinced that while this renovation was launched in the aftermath of a fire, right, we believe God's using this opportunity to point us to the renovation he is overseeing in our spiritual lives. And so the renovation of the physical sanctuary 300 feet away from us mirrors the renovation of the spiritual sanctuary that is sitting amongst us. And you did hear me right. We are God's sanctuary, each of us living stones that collectively constitute a sanctuary for God to dwell in on earth. And to help us process that, we've been focusing on our theme scripture for the year, and we'll go there now. 1 Peter 2, verse 4, it reads this way. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Notice that it not only calls us living stones in that passage, but it also calls us priests. Okay, we are priests, and a priest is a type of minister. Priests stand as intermediaries between God and the people who need to connect to God. In fact, we're doing that this month in prayer for people whose eyes are blinded to the truth. We're praying they see the light. And as priests, we are extensions of the ministry of Jesus, who the scripture calls our high priest, okay? High priest means the senior priest, the ultimate priest. And he is responsible for saving us all, right? But after saving us, he turns us into priests, people who participate in saving other people. We are participating in saving other people. Now, Peter takes this concept a few steps further as we go a few verses down in the chapter. So let's read verse 9 of that same chapter. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay. What I want you to focus here on are the words chosen, but you are chosen. Now, we've talked about that in various ways in the last series, but here I want you to think about it this way, okay? When you see the word chosen here, I want you to think about the Marvel comic book characters, Professor Xavier and Nick Fury, okay? If you follow those comic book stories, you know this, that Professor Xavier, or people call him Professor X, right? He assembled the X-Men. People with extraordinary gifts who would protect the world from harm, okay? Nick Fury assembled the Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes, as they say in the mythology, right? People with supernatural powers who would address extraordinary threats. Each of these men, Professor X and Nick Fury, were choosing people to be part of Earth's rescue team. And that's exactly what the Lord has called you and me to do. He has chosen you. You're on the team. He selected you. And not only has he chosen you, but he's empowered you to respond to extraordinary threats facing our world. And you know, when I say extraordinary threats, I am not exaggerating. We all saw the news last night. We saw our feeds, okay? And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There is no sector of our society that is not currently overwhelmed by countless threats. I don't care where you work, where you go to school, where you live, there's something threatening, right? At a high level. You know, recently, my son's principal invited some dads to come to the campus. He said, let's bring the dads here. And we all showed up this past week. They gave us shirts and they just said, this just be here and just walk around. And so we were there at snack and lunch and we were just there. We had a great time talking to students, et cetera. But between lunch and snack, they were talking to us about the dynamics facing not just this school, but schools in general, mental health issues and funding and all these things. And y'all have kids who go to school and stuff like, you know what I'm talking about. It's crazy stuff, right? These are threats and they are adding up, right? From mental health issues to corporate greed to political deception to economic fallout to industry collapse to national uncertainty to international conflict to war to youth in despair to natural disasters to food industry fraudulence to healthcare inadequacy to social media addiction to AI invasiveness. Shall I continue? We know what time it is. People on this planet need rescue. This is a real, this ain't the movies, this is real life. Okay? People on this planet need rescue, but here's the rub. Nothing in this world can help them. This is a perfect setup for a movie, and that's how they start, right? I mean, it's an imminent threat. It's an asteroid from outer space. It's coming here. It's an evil dictator that's going to take over something. And what are we going to do? Well, nothing here is going to help us. Then here comes Superman. Woo! You know, he's coming with his red cape. You know, he's going to come and save us, right? All right. But we don't have Superman. We got us. That's what we got, us. People God has saved, and I've saved you, now I'm sending you back out there to rest on a rescue mission. But let me go back to what I said before. Here's the challenge. People on this earth need rescue, but nothing in this world can help them. Okay? And we're going to get to the hope here in a second, but let me just give you the dilemma. Do you know why nothing in this world can help us? Because the world is passing away. The Bible tells us that. 1 John 2:17, it says, and the world is passing away. And with his desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. But let's focus on that first part. The world is passing away, is dying. The world as we know it has been and continues to be on a gradual path toward destruction that will culminate in a final battle between good and evil that God will win. We already know how the story's going to go. We know this already. Okay? But the world, when it says the world's passing away, think death. Think that we can't do nothing with it. We can put it in hospice. We can deal with symptoms. And there's people who are in this world and of this world, and they're going through their best effort to try to save it, but they can't. We already said it in our last series, the illness that humanity has is a sickness that requires a miraculous cure, and that miraculous cure is Jesus. Everything else is just dealing with symptoms, and we'll deal with the symptoms. Oh, the scripture tells us to show our good works, tells us to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and minister to the least of these. We do all that, I'm telling you, and it'll give people relief. But it's just symptoms. That's just symptoms. What you need to hear in this, and what I'm saying is this, that we will not save the people of this world by saving the world. We save the people of this world by giving them a new one. A new government, a new kingdom, a world whose foundations and powers are not based here. Why do you think when Jesus came to the scene, everything in the kingdom of God is like, and the kingdom of God is like, and the kingdom of God is like, and he just kept talking about it. I'm gonna give you different stories. I'm gonna tell you this way. Then I'm gonna say it this way. I'm gonna say it that way. I'm gonna say it this way. Till you get it that the kingdom that I have, you got to come into a new kingdom. Nothing here can help you. Now, Jesus assures us with this. Now, I said there's nothing in this world that can help us, but this is what Jesus assures us with. John 18:36. It says this. He was speaking to the people who had arrested him and had him in custody, and he was saying, Jesus answered. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting. You don't want me to be here fighting you. I mean, come on now. Am I really going to fight you? You would be through. But my kingdom is not of this world. Otherwise, my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. They'd keep me from going to the cross, but I got to die. But he says, but my kingdom is not from this world. Not even Jesus is fighting to save this world. That's not his strategy for rescue. He then goes on to say this about us, those who have been rescued by him. John 17, verse 16, he says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So he's not of this world, and we are not. We're part of a different kingdom. And why is this true? Colossians 1:13 says this. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. That's why we have peace. Because there's no inflation in the kingdom of God. There's no war in the kingdom of God. There's no sickness in the kingdom of God. There's no disaster. There's no calamity. There's no breaking news in the kingdom of God. That's where we have citizenship. We got citizenship there. So all our resources come from there. You know, when you're an ambassador, and we've talked about this, to another country, and that's what we are. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of God. You don't eat the food in the country you in. And that embassy, they ship food from the home country for you to eat. You ain't tethered to their economy. You ain't tethered to their, well, man, something go down in that embassy, you got protection. You in your country, in their country. When you're in the embassy, I don't care what country you're in. When you're in an embassy, you're in your country when you're in somebody else's country. Everywhere else I am is Japan. Everywhere else around me is Japan, but right here is the U.S. And that's the same with the kingdom of God. Everything around you, crazy. Everything around you are, but where you are is the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God. And guess what? He wants to deliver other people from the domain of darkness into the security of his kingdom so that they can have peace even though the world is falling apart. But he can't do that with people who are from this world. He has to do that with people who are not of this world. The UN, wonderful. They do a lot of humanitarian things. Red Cross, wonderful. All kinds of secular, nonprofit organizations, fantastic. People need help. People need relief. All they can do is deal with symptoms. And that's why the title of our new series this month is, guess what? Not of this world. Not of this world. It continues the superhero theme from last month's series, which was called We Are a Family of Supers. How many remember our series from last month? Okay, we dealt with the superhero theme, okay? And we're going to stay with that theme of superheroes, but we're going to ask a new question. You know what the new question is? What does it mean to be super people in a natural world? What does it mean to be supernaturally empowered but living day to day in a natural world? This question has tremendous implications. While the last series focused on what we believe, this series addresses how we behave. The last series focused on who we are. This series focuses on what we do. The last series focused on God's power. This series focuses on our choices. Now, what will be the same from last month's series is that we will continue to focus on Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. So I encourage you to continue to, this is one of those series where actually you might enjoy having a hard copy of your Bible because we will be going verse by verse through Ephesians. You don't have to bring a hard copy, but it's one of those messages where you might enjoy doing that, okay? Last month, we focused on the first three chapters of Ephesians, which taught us that our entire Christian life, its promises, its practices, and powers are based on supernatural capacities. In chapter one, we explored our superhero identity. That is who we are in Christ, along with the power and attributes that come along with that. In chapter two, we explored our superhero origin story. Okay? Who we were without Jesus, and then who we became after God rescued us with a miraculous intervention, which is basically the gospel story. In chapter three, we explored our superhero mission, which is our role in rescuing people from spiritual death to spiritual life, from spiritual darkness into spiritual light, from spiritual bondage to spiritual freedom. Again, this fast we're doing this month is a rescue mission. It's a rescue mission. There are people who are lost and they don't know they're lost. But God, as we partner with him, is going to have something to say about that. Now, this month's series will focus on the second half of Ephesians, chapters 4, 5, and 6. We will break down the rest of Paul's letter across seven different segments, and I'm going to describe each one. The first segment is called Learning How to Skywalk. Learning how to skywalk. There's only two verses in this segment, but it breaks down the most important concept in the series, and it sets the tone for the rest of Ephesians. It explains the biblical concept of how we can be seated in heaven while walking on earth. The second segment is called Avengers Assemble. I'm obviously borrowing from the language of the Marvel Cinematic Universe when Captain America calls the rest of the Avengers to fight. He says, Avengers, assemble. And that's what Sunday gatherings are. That's Avengers Assemble. When we have prayer meetings, that's Avengers Assemble. When we have nights of worship, when we have leadership trainings, ministry outreaches, discipleship gatherings, that's Avengers Assemble. It's a call away from our screens and our phones and a call to join forces with our fellow superheroes to save the world from evil. Remember Super Friends? Maybe all y'all didn't watch that. I used to watch that. How about the Justice League? You know about that? That's us. That's us. We're the Avengers. We're the Super Friends. We're the Justice League. And the world is looking for us to do something. That's why we always get criticized, because they're expecting something great from us. I used this example last service. If you've seen the movie The Incredibles, there's a scene where there's a little boy, remember the little boy in the tricycle, he's riding, you know, riding his tricycle, and then he sees Mr. Incredible do something incredible, and then he's like, whoo, what did he just do, right? And so he sees Mr. Incredible do something amazing with his superpowers, and then later in the movie, Mr. Incredible, he's having a hard time, he's mad. You know, he's just sitting there, you know, why is my life going the way it is? And the little boy on a tricycle rolls up and he's looking at Mr. Incredible. Mr. Incredible looks at him. He's like, what are you looking at? And he was like, I don't know, something amazing, I guess. That's what the world is saying to us. They looking at us and we like, what you looking at? I don't know, something amazing, I guess, Christian. Saved by grace. Empowered. What you got? What's up? World's on fire. What you doing? They're waiting for us to respond. The world needs help, and God sent us. Third segment. The third segment is called Close Encounters. Remember that movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind? Maybe not some of you, your movie history may not go that far, okay? But it was made in 1977. Science fiction film directed by Steven Spielberg. It was about aliens coming to Earth and the world's obsession with extraterrestrial contact. Well, as heroes from a heavenly world who live on Earth, we live each day in a close encounter with a world that is unspiritual, ungodly, and materialistic. And we experience this in a very personal way through the flesh. And we define what the flesh is in our last series, and we define it this way. The flesh is a genetic predisposition to defy God's law. which gets expressed through our bodies and minds. Yes, we are saved by faith through grace. Yes, we are justified by his blood. Yes, through Christ, we receive a new nature. And at the same time, the flesh keeps the receipts from our old life and calls us back to it. As a result, we still have the capacity. This is what makes people, they don't understand this part. We still have the capacity to live out of our old nature. While we are still on earth, we can't get rid of the flesh. We can't redeem the flesh. We just, while we're living here, we got to live with it, okay? We can only keep dying to it every day and choose to live from our new nature. We got one choice every day. Am I going to live out of my old nature or am I going to live out of my new nature? Every day, every moment, you get triggered. What you going to do? Who going to talk, old nature or new nature? Who going to respond, old nature or new? Who going to text back or not text back? Old nature or new nature? Who going to troll? Who going to respond? Old nature or new nature? That was the third segment. The fourth segment is called, Honey, where's my super suit? It's really a subcategory of the third segment, but it's so important that it needs to be featured independently. The concept is simple. As I said, we have an old nature and a new nature, but check it out. We got to take off the old nature and put on the new nature. Remember Mr. Rogers? You never saw him without taking off his work shoe, whatever he was doing before that shoes, and putting on his I'm at home shoes. And then when he was done, he would take off his I'm at home shoes and put on I'm about to walk out the house shoes. You got to do that every day. You got to take off the old. That's your default mode. You got to take that off. Put on your super suit. You know you're about to go to this event and see them people you don't want to see? You're going to need your super suit for that. Better put it on. Put on gentleness. Put on humility. Put on I'm not going to say nothing. Put on I'm going to be nice today. Put on I'm going to bite my tongue. Don't leave the house without your right mind. Without your right attitude, without the right heart posture. The fifth segment is called We Draw Our Power from the Sun. This segment is inspired in part by the Superman mythology. If you follow Superman's storyline, you know that his powers are activated by the Earth's sun. On his home planet Krypton, he was just a regular dude, but on Earth, empowered by the sun's rays, he becomes Superman. The same is true of us, except we are powered by a different sun. Superman drew his strength from the S-U-N. We draw our strength from the S-O-N, who is our light. So this segment is about avoiding the works of darkness and continuing to walk in the light of Christ. Stay in the light. Stay away from shady people and shady situations. Walk in the light, which is the pursuit of all that is good, right, and true. The sixth segment, I got to say that slow, is called Submission, the Neglected Superpower. We all don't like, none of us like submission, including me. No, nobody likes it. We all don't want nobody telling us what to do. Most people look at submission as a sign of weakness and exploitation, but the scripture says differently. It presents it as a means of empowerment and a prerequisite for wielding authority. You know who God empowers in the Bible? The humble people. You know who God promotes in the Bible? The submitted people. They got all the power. The ones who telling everybody what to do and think they ain't in control, those are the people with the least power. People with the most power, humble, submitted to God. And we'll learn that it's one of the most powerful weapons in our arsenal. And if you ever get stuck somewhere and you were like, God, why ain't this working out? Find out where you're not submitted. Sometimes that will quickly let you know what's not going right. The seventh segment is called Star Wars. While this is partly inspired by the Star Wars movie mythology, it mainly draws its focus from one of the ways that Scripture characterizes angelic beings. One of the ways the Bible references angels is by calling them stars. And it is against these fallen stars or fallen angels that our true battles are fought. Our fight is not against humans. Our fight is not against humans. Our fight is against various rankings of celestial beings who get their directives from Satan. This segment is going to show us how to be equipped to respond to and maintain victory over Satan's attacks. So, in the time remaining, let's dig into the second half of Ephesians. Like I said, we're going to begin with the first segment called Learning How to Skywalk. So let's read Ephesians 4:1. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I'm going to read it again. We're going to spend some time in this verse. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. In simple terms, walking in a manner worthy of your calling means to act like the gospel you preach. Act like the gospel you preach. One of the best analogies for this is to think about the royal family from Britain. Most of us, if we know a royal family, is that one. Not like we know them, we just see them. You know, we see their lives. It's out there for us to see. But what we know about them is those folks walk different, live different from the time they're young, right? When you are a royal, you're assigned a tutor. And you ain't even around your parents that much. You're around this person who's telling you how you talk, telling you how you eat, telling you how you greet people. When people come around, I know he a grown man, but he got to bow to you. He better bow, right? There's certain protocols, things of that nature, because you are a royal. You can't just be doing whatever. And some of this stuff you've been hearing with the royal family has to do with that. But, hey, brother, you a royal. You can't be doing that. What you doing? Right? Same here. We are royals. So what the scripture is saying, you got to walk worthy of where you are. And putting our calling into action requires that we know and honor the value of that high calling. We got to know, and I hope you see now, if you were here for the last series, how important it was to know and understand the first three chapters of Ephesians. Because if you don't, you can't even handle Ephesians 4, verse 1. You can't start Christians with chapter 4. You got to start them with chapter 1. You're telling people to just act right out of willpower and discipline. That ain't Christianity. But he's saying, based on what you understand about what I did for you, now walk. Right? The first half of Ephesians, we learn that we are blessed, we are chosen and adopted into the royal family, we are predestined for holiness, we are redeemed, we are forgiven, we are lavished with the riches of his grace, we have gained access to the knowledge of his will, we are called to a ministry of reconciliation, we are heirs to an eternal inheritance, we have hope, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, we have the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is working toward us, we have Christ's authority, we are seated in heavenly places. That's just a quick review. You know, we went over all of that from last series, but all that is true about us. But let me just unpack this last statement. I said we are seated. Well, really, the Bible says we are seated in heavenly places. Regarding this particular attribute, let me quickly read the scripture that we read last month that says this. Ephesians 2 and 6. It says what? And raised us up with him. Talking about us, me and you. Raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are right now. We're there right now. I know your mind's processing that, but you're like, Pastor, I'm right here. How am I up there? Well, if we put Ephesians 2, 6, which says we're seated, and then we take Ephesians 4, 1, which tells us to walk, what it's basically saying is we're in two different positions at the same time. It's important to understand why and how that's true so we can do what he's saying here. So we're seated, we're seated, and at the same time we're walking. Okay? We're seated, but we're walking. Okay? We're seated in heaven, but we're walking on earth. Okay? Now, when I say we're seated, we're not seated, then we get up, walk down to earth, and then walk. Nuh-uh. We're seated in heaven while we're walking on earth, and we're walking on earth while we're seated in heaven. How does that work? I'm glad you asked. Our walk on earth should be dictated by where we are seated in heaven. What does that mean? Another fantastic question. What it means is this, is that anything up there can show up down here. Anything up there can show up down here. What's up there? Everything we just listed. Blessing, power, authority, grace, the attitude of Christ. The best way for me to explain this is to compare it to the way your streaming service works. You know how that works. What you got? Netflix, Disney Plus, Paramount, Peacock, YouTube. You got something. And you know exactly how that works, right? They give you authority. You're a licensed user. They give you the power. They send you a digital signal. They give you the access. You put in your passcode. And once you have that, you can watch on your device what's stored in the cloud. Where is the movie? It's up here and it's down here. It's in both places at the same time. It's sitting in the cloud and being played on my TV. You can access down here what's stored up there. You mean I could just do that? Yeah. I can watch whatever I want? Yeah. Whenever I want? Yeah. Well, how much can I watch before I have to stop and take a break? There are no limits. You can binge watch if you want. Really? Yes. Okay, what if I want to watch Top Gun? Guess what? Watch it. Shawshank Redemption. Can I find that? We can stream it right now. What about Love and Basketball? I'm already making the popcorn. Okay, American Gangster. I'm ready when you are. Singing in the Rain. We got old school, we got new school, whatever school, how far back you want to go? So I can really watch whatever I want. Yes, you've got everything in the cloud. So watch. Enjoy. Have a movie night. Put on your pajamas. Have some ice cream. Watch. Here's the connection to our spiritual lives. Just like we have access to every show in the cyberspaces, what do we learn in Ephesians 1:3? We got access to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We have the whole catalog. Why are you buying DVDs? Why are you trying to buy jump drives? Let me store. I need some more storage. They pay. I got to pay too much for you. It's paid. The streaming service is paid for. It's paid. Why are you buying DVDs? Every spiritual blessing? Every spiritual blessing. Okay, what if I want to be kind? I'm a mean person. Then be kind. Okay, I mean, I'm pretty impatient. What if I want to be patient? Be patient. Okay, what if I want to be sexually pure? How about that? Be sexually pure. Everything's up there. Temperance, faithfulness, joy, compassion, endurance, generosity, honesty, integrity, contentment, humility, righteousness, holiness. It's all in the cloud. It's so many Christians having a hard time and they don't know it's all in the cloud. If we're seated with Jesus, we can walk like Jesus. You know why? Because it's his account. He can give you the passcode. Y'all know you be doing this. I ain't gonna tell on you. You got cousin, brother, uncle, neighbor, classmate using their account for Disney Plus and Netflix. And when you log in, guess what? They don't see you. They see your brother. You log in with the passcode they gave you and their information shows up. As far as Netflix is concerned, your brother's watching it. Guess what? Because it's Jesus' account, when you log in, they see Jesus. His righteousness is like debt paid. And he gave you the access code. You know what it is? Faith. God is not a respecter of person, but he is a respecter of faith. That's why faith is so important. It's the access code. He tell everybody what it is. It ain't no secret. But we don't use it. In our darkest hour, we don't put in the passcode. We stop believing because we look at what's around us. So, bottom line, if you're saved, act like it. And this is where people resist. Because that sounds too easy. They have this false impression of Christianity, thinking that holy life is impossible. They look at all the Christians they know who are consistently inconsistent, and they say that's not possible. Nobody's perfect. Who am I to judge? I don't think I can be a holy person. Maybe a pastor could be holy, but maybe, I don't know. But I'm not a pastor, so you know, you can't really expect me to live like that. So I guess I'll be okay if I don't follow everything to a T. Only problem with that is that's not what the Bible says. Yes, people make mistakes, But there's provision for that. There's provision for forgiveness. God will forgive you if you come sincerely and you're contrite. And then you repent and get back on track. You don't go back and keep on doing it, though. He'll forgive you. And once he forgives you, God's like, we're good. We're good. Live your life. I know what some of you are thinking. You're saying, but what if it's an addiction, you know, or chronic entanglement or with sin and just really messy, you know, messy. It's messy. It's messy. Guess what? Then you take one day at a time. You amass all of your spiritual and emotional support tools from your small group, from pastoral counsel, from therapy, from addiction recovery programs, from prayer meetings, from large gatherings with believers on Sundays, from accountability with mature believers with an observable track record who can tell you no, and you listen to them. From your personal devotional life in the word and prayer and worship and fasting. Stay in the process. What happens is that people stop believing the first half of Ephesians. Then they abandon the process, and then they say, well, it didn't work. And some of you will say, well, Pastor, I did all that, and it really didn't work. You lying. It was working. But you left when it became difficult. He did not promise you ease. He promised you grace. And you stopped tapping into your resources from heavenly places, if you ever did at all. And not only that, but many people who say they are consistent, they really aren't. They are hit and miss and are still significantly influenced by people and things that pull them away from a serious commitment to God. Sometimes you got to let some people go. And I don't mean to be mean. You might have to be mean. You ain't trying to be mean, but you may not be able to talk to them for a long time. You can't handle it. Don't take their call. Block them. They no good for you. Let them go. Because when you keep those people around, you never lock in with your actions. We praise people who lock in for education. You know, I didn't see you for 5 years. There you go with your degree. Come on now. I see what you're doing. I feel you. Come on. People lock in for business. You know, I hustled and I saved my money and I was selling. I did all this. You know, I made my money. You know, we praise that, right? People who lock in for wealth. People who lock in for social media success. People who lock in for career advancement. And they tune everything else out for an extended period of time to place an acute focus on whatever their goal is. We give people props for that. We need to do that for the Lord. Don't tell me it didn't work. Listen, have you spent a year locked in? Can you give God a year? You gave your education 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Your business 5, 6, 7, 8. Yo, hustle 5, 6, 7, 8. Give God one. Watch what he does. And in that year, don't miss nothing. Every prayer meeting, every church service, every small group, every time they say fast, I'm going to fast. I'm going to do everything. And you're not doing it to impress God. You're not doing it to impress people. You're saying, God, I'm not missing anything you gave me to help me. If I miss something, it won't be because I didn't look. The bottom line is this: you can live a holy life. Yes, regular old you, because your holiness is not based on you. It's based on him in the cloud. Grace has eliminated all your excuses. I am almost done. I got one more verse. Verse 2. I'm going to get through it real quick in the next 5 minutes, but I'm going to get this to you. Okay, Ephesians 4 and 2, it continues. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. These are really important words. Short phrase, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. This is the main idea here. As you can see, though we live this high life in Christ, we are not arrogant about it. We are not arrogant about it. We don't flaunt it. We ain't condescending people. We get our validation from God. We don't need to get our validation from you, making you look low. We don't need to do that. Okay? We're like people with tremendous wealth who don't want to go around flaunting it, but would rather build our reputations on how well we treat other people. We're not interested in using our status and power in Christ to compel people to do what we say. We would rather use our heavenly advantages to listen and respond to other people's needs. We know we're loaded. We got it like that in Christ. But because we're already seated in heavenly places, it's not a race to the top. We got that already. It's a race to the bottom. Outdoing one another in service. Outdoing one another in hospitality, in compassion, in honor, in kindness. Romans 12:2-10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Matthew 20, verse 26, the last part of the verse, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. We're loaded, but we're going to scrub the floor. We're loaded, but we're going to clean some toilets. We're going to wash feet. Now, when I say that, I don't necessarily mean literally. Jesus didn't even mean it that way. He did it for his disciples as an example. What that means is whatever is menial and thankless in your context, you be the first to do it. All the thankless stuff, menial stuff, folks don't want to do. Nobody appreciates. We do that. First to sign up. You know, I was in a leadership program, and I remember this guy talking, and he was saying, you know, I do stuff like that. You know, at my job, I'm going to teach this. Like, I'm going to tell you because you don't work with me, but I don't tell them. It seemed like a small thing, but he secretly goes and gets coffee and donuts and stuff for his staff, but he don't tell nobody. It's just there. And he says, I just do that to stay in this humble game. I just do it for them. They don't know, but I do it just to stay here. It could be doing all the reports. You might have a corporate job and it's doing all the reports. You might be a parent and no other parent wants to transfer all that. You transfer all the kids. I'll bus them. I'll take them. I'll feed them. Whatever it is in your everybody has a context and everybody has something in their context that's menial and thankless. We run to do that. That's our attitude. But that's the very people God promotes, though. That is the real superhero work. The stuff most people don't want to do. But it is the stuff that makes the difference. Let's pray.